What are we celebrating today?
Well, today is National Bean Counter Day. My mom was a payroll clerk for a payroll accountant for many years. I have a niece that's an accountant. I use an accountant. But you know what? Today is a well-deserved National Bean Counter Day, because you know what today actually is, right? Today after tax season ends. So National Bean Counter Day. Today is National Orchid Day. That doesn't do much for me. I'm allergic to most flowers, and National Orchid Day. So if you like orchids, today's your day. Today is National Healthcare Decision Day. I have no idea why this day is here, because that all happens in October. But today, I guess, is where you're supposed to decide about your national health, about your health care. But the next one, I thought about. Today is National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. I could have done this morning. You wouldn't have been happy, but I could have done this morning. Just came here and preached in my jammies. That would have been scary, not awesome. And if you like this dish, more power to you. It's not one of my favorites. Today is National Eggs Benedict Day. Why do we celebrate? Did a little Google research on this topic, and it came up with five reasons that Americans like to celebrate. We like to celebrate to perform. It's something that we want to do to bring attention to ourselves. We like to celebrate to honor. We do this on things like Veterans Day, Memorial Day. We want to honor people. We do this because we want to mark an occasion, birthday, an anniversary. We want to celebrate so we can hold up a special event, maybe a person that's done something great in our life. And oftentimes we celebrate just because we want to observe. There's an event that has happened in the past, and we just want to observe it every single year. But when I say the word celebration, we usually think of fun. Something that we celebrate is just something that we really get into. It's fun. There's a party. There's decorations. There's cake. There's ice cream. But today is not one of those days where the word celebrate means something fun. This is one of those hard moments. It's called the Day of Atonement. We started this service reading Leviticus chapter 16, all of it. By the way, that's also called Mercy, because I asked Rich to read it, because if I had tried reading 32 verses, you'd still be standing there waiting for me to finish reading them. So Rich read the entire chapter to us. It goes systematically through the ceremony that was done on the Day of Atonement. If you were with us last year, maybe you don't even remember this, we actually read that exact same chapter. Somebody else was doing the reading, but we read that exact same chapter when we came to this exact same moment in the pre-sermon series when we were studying his garments. By the way, if you missed that sermon, you can catch it on YouTube. I'm not re-preaching that sermon. We're not really going to dive into what we dove into last time. We're not going to really look behind the curtain today of the Day of Atonement. What we're going to talk about today is what the average individual celebrated on the Day of Atonement. I mean, it's one thing to think about what the priest did, right? I mean, he had all the stuff to do and all the bathing to do and all the, and it's another thing to think about what all the other, what did the average person do on the Day of Atonement? But before we can discuss the Day of Atonement, I kind of got to give you a little, summary or a little reminder. I don't want to beat a dead dragon to death, but we've got to come back and we've got to talk about the concept of sin and grace. You have to remember, all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And you know what? There isn't a single exception to the rule. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." And it tells us that, you know what? There is a natural consequence for sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." This is considered basic Christian doctrine. This is exactly the reason that the Day of Atonement existed, was to understand what it meant to receive grace from God. Because honestly, atonement means reparation for wrong or injury. Okay, I understand that. The Bible says that sin is wrong, like it or not. Now, I get it. Today's world, we don't like to say anything is wrong. But the Bible says sin is wrong. And the results in death through our separation from God, and that is what God called a broken relationship. However, God was not satisfied with the broken, so he offered himself a sacrifice. Now here's the important thing you need to take out of this whole little recap here, is the fact if God had required us to set the balance sheet straight, if he had asked us to settle the account on our own, however, that is not what God did. God said, you know what? I am going to offer you a way to restore the relationship through my sacrifice. And that, my friends, is called grace. So when we come to understand this, the Day of Atonement, we're going to talk a lot about sin, but it really wasn't about a sin. There was no specific sin that God was asking for. He was asking for all of it to be atoned for. The Day of Atonement is absolutely, positively not about judgment. You know how I know? Because if the Day of Atonement was all about judgment, we wouldn't be sacrificing goats. We would have been sacrificing people. Because that's whose sin that we were talking about on this particular day. The Day of Atonement, if you haven't figured it out from all of the music that we sang this morning, it's about grace. This was God's demonstration in the Old Testament. This was his ordained celebration to say, this is how we're going to deal with your sin. It is the tale of two goats. I do hope you were paying close attention when Rich read Leviticus chapter 16, because a lot of times we only talk about one goat. You know that goat, right? That's the goat that we see butchered, and we see bled, and we see that Aaron takes his blood back behind the curtain, and there is sacrificed, and that's the goat we like to talk about. But it's the tale of two goats. Goat number one, well, it was the goat of atonement. He becomes the sacrifice, the petition for God's forgiveness. Goat number two, well, we have a name for him. Goat number two, he's the scapegoat. On him were placed all of the sins, and then he was chased from the city. Did you catch how they picked which goat was which? They brought both goats in, and they basically cast lots, drew straws, threw dice. I don't know. They cast lots. It was a random chance which goat was going to be the goat of atonement, and which goat is going to be the scapegoat. Now, here's the reality of the situation. Which goat got the better deal? Neither one, really, because guess what probably happened to both goats eventually? Yeah, one became a sacrifice. The other one became probably dinner for some animal out there. But they were given this assignment that they were supposed to do. But here's what I want you to take out of this. The one dead goat was not enough. If all they had done was take the one goat and they slaughtered the one goat and they took the blood of one goat back in there and they laid the blood of one goat on that altar, if one goat was all there was, that wasn't enough. There had to be a live goat that took those sins and took them away forever. They didn't have to sacrifice the goat for the same sins the next year. He was removing all of their sins forever. This is the Day of Atonement. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can go to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. And this is how the Day of Atonement is described there. The Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God, those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy them from among their people. Anyone who does any work on that day, you shall, for anyone who does any work on that day, You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come, whenever, wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you. You must deny yourselves from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. You are to observe your Sabbath, the Day of Atonement. When is it celebrated? Well, today it's called Yom Kippur, is its official name. But according to Scripture, both in Leviticus 16 and here in Leviticus 23, it is celebrated on the 10th day of the 7th month. So it is actually right at the end of the Festival of Trumpets. The Festival of Trumpets was a 10-day festival. It started on the first day of the month, and they blew those trumpets all throughout those 10 days, and it was there, and every time you heard the trumpets, you're supposed to shout, God is in our land. And then when the final trumpet sounded for the day of the, for the Feast of the Festival of the Trumpets, it was time for atonement. It would have made this the second of the fall celebrations. So we're somewhere probably around mid-October, maybe early October, depending on the moon cycle, how the moon cycle goes. And it would have been 5 days before the Festival of Tabernacles. Now that's an important festival, and that's what we're doing next week. So I'm not going to get deep in that, but we've got 5 days, so they know when we get to the Day of Atonement, I'm not done. There is yet one more festival to come. What's really important about the Day of Atonement, though, is how it was celebrated. How was it celebrated? Well, it began as a day of acknowledgement. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meetings. Make no mistake about it. I told you that it's not about sin, but we are going to deal with sin. That is what they have. This is what this holiday, this celebration is all about. And here's the thing that really fascinates me. Before the priest could deal with the sins of the nation, whose sins did he have to deal with first? His own. He had to deal with his own. He couldn't go out and say, all of you folks are sinners, and I'm the priest. No. He had to deal with his own. Before he could ever do anything with those goats, he had to take the bull, and he had to slaughter the bull, and he had to lay the bull on the altar, and he had to take the blood of the bull back behind there. He had to wipe the blood of the bull everywhere. Then he could come back out and deal with the sins of the nation. This is important because a lot of times we think sin big picture. God thinks sin is personal. My sin is not your sin. Your sin is not my sin. You know what? I have a lot of things in my life that I'm struggling with, and everybody has these things called sin. And on the day when it becomes time to atone for those sins, I'm not responsible for your sins. But I am absolutely positively responsible for mine. What a picture. I think a lot of times we go out into the world trying to fix the sins of the world before we fix the sins of the priests. We need to deal with our own sins sometimes. And after they were done dealing with sin, it turned into a day of worship. Leviticus 16 describes much of the ritual that went through the assembly, but again, we're not diving into that. But here's the important part. The people had to be present. Oh. Wait a minute. You mean I can't just dial it in? Mm-mm. Nope. Not for this day. They were not allowed to stay at home and just have somebody tell them when it was over. They couldn't sit there and say, you know what? I know what's going to happen. I've been to these things. I know exactly what they're going to do. I can tell you all the things the priest is going to say. I can tell you all the songs they're going to sing. Tell you what, I'll stay home. We'll send a representative. And when it's all over, you just call me and tell me it's finished. That's not the way this worked. Somebody actually had to go over there. You could not just stay at home. They had to come and witness proceedings. Now, I got to tell you, this went on for years and years and years in Israel. And the first one was probably really interesting. Probably the first one they went to, and it was the very first Day of Atonement and the first time they'd ever seen this thing and walking through all of these rituals. It was probably really, really, really interesting to watch. Year two. Okay. Year three. Year 10. 15. 20. Year 40, when you've been wandering around in the wilderness and doing this all these years, and they're like, been there, done that, how many goats is it going to take? Yeah, I don't really need to go this year because they're going to say the same thing and sing the same songs that they always sing. Why just continue doing this? It's because God said so. God says this is to be a day of worship. You are to come in every attendance to the Lord. And we know what that word means, right? Yep. When you came to the Day of Atonement, you better not come empty-handed. It's interesting. We didn't really get a big detail on what the sacrifices were. We were just told it was supposed to be a food offering. And they were to bring it. And that's important because not only did they have to show up, they had to show up. The average common person coming to the Day of Atonement had to show up with the intention, I am going to participate. You couldn't show up just in time to get your seat. You couldn't show up just because you wanted to be there and watch what was going on. You had to show up with something in your possession. That's the Day of Atonement. And those offerings that were given, it says it was a sweet savor to God, given not out of the sin, but out of the sincere heartfelt devotion. You couldn't just do it reluctantly. You couldn't just take what was the leftover as you were running out the house. Dope, I forgot the offering. Here, I'll just take this was planned. They knew this was coming for months. They had picked out their offering. They had picked out whatever they were going to sacrifice, and there it came. It's offered for the acceptance instead of the offerer. The animal represents the offerer. So I'm coming, and I've got to bring something, and we're going to put this on the altar. And by the way, this was the all hands on deck for the priest because they were all over the place, little stations where you could come and offer that which you had brought. This was an important day. They had to come. They had to bring something with them. And then it became a day of rest. Now this always, I find it interesting because I don't know how you rest with all this stuff to do. But I think the actual idea is here is that you're supposed to rest from your normal life. Do not do any work on that day because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. So make no mistake about it. No working allowed. And God gives some reinforcement for this instruction. In fact, he went so far as to say, if you work on this particular day, forget about the stonings. This is between me and you. He says, I will destroy you. Boy, that sounds like this is something very big and something very different because God himself is saying, you do work on this Day of Atonement, it's over for you. Gloves are off. This is between me and you. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's just keep going with what else they had to do on this day, and it became a day of denial. Those who do not deny themselves on the day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among you their people, anyone who does any work on that day. So work was not the only thing that would have not been allowed on the Day of Atonement. Here's something you don't think about. This would have been a national day of fasting for Israel. Did you get the times he gave? He said from 9 o'clock on the 9th until 9 o'clock on the 10th, That is the parameters. And so guess what? This was a national day of fasting for everybody in Israel. Not only did you deny yourself work, you did not eat on this day. That doesn't sound like a very good festival to me. I like cake. That's not the point. This has been a national day of abstinence. You know what that means, don't you? No sex and no alcohol, folks. Everything goes out. You are to abstain from everything that day except for God. That doesn't sound very much fun at all. It wasn't supposed to be fun. Do you think the cross was fun for Jesus? No. He's painting a very vivid picture because this is a demonstration of submission. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 through 27. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. Do you see an interesting connection here? Not only are we going to deal with the sin issue, before we can deal with that, we've got to get just in a submissive mode. So no food, no alcohol, no enjoyment. Pack up your stuff. Come to the day and be prepared. And what did God say? If you don't, it's me and you. If you're not going to come in a submissive spirit, stay home. Ooh. If you're not coming to submit yourself to what's going on, you're really not doing anything at all. If you're going to load up on breakfast and then come, you've missed the point of the exercise. God says, this day, it's going to be a day of forgiveness. Because on this day of atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. I like this part. You know why? Because when this day is done and that clock hits 9 o'clock on the 10th, my slate is clean. All of the sins from my last year, all of those things, it's gone. God took care of them. He cleaned the slate for me. And do I understand exactly how that works? How you take two goats and cleanse? Nope. You know what? I don't have to understand it. You know why? Because God said this is what's required. This is how we're going to do it. And interesting enough, the forgiveness was not because of the actions, but more on the willingness to take God at his word and do it God's way. A lot of times I think we way overthink this Christian thing. Man, we want to know, well, what happens when I do this act? And what happens when I do this act? It doesn't matter. You know what matters? God said do it, therefore I trust God, therefore I do what God said do. Does it matter that I really understand why? No. Do your kids understand everything you tell them to do? No. Then why do you keep telling them? Because you know why you're telling them what you do. God did not have to explain it all. He didn't look down there and say, now this is what happens when you do the first goat, and this is what happens when you do the second goat. He just says, hey, get two goats and follow the ritual. And trust me, because today, my friends, is a day of choice. Those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. So if you get caught not denying yourself, that means your family's supposed to shun you on this day? Absolutely. I will destroy from among them, among their people, anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. Don't cut your grass. Don't wash your dishes. Don't cook your food because you can't eat it anyway. You know, none of it matters at this point. God is saying your life on this day of atonement comes to a halt, but I'm not going to make you do it. You have to choose it. And he lays down some consequences. Because if they didn't, then you know what? They were supposed to be cut off from human relationships. That's kind of harsh, don't you think? If you choose not to do it, God said, I'm going to destroy you. And he didn't leave any wiggle room. He didn't say anything. He didn't give a clause at all. He said, hey, if you don't do this, this is how important atonement is. It's over for you. Now, it sounds harsh. I get it. Because, folks, we have a sin issue. There are things in my life that are causing separation between me and God. And the good news is God has a sin solution. For the Israelites, it was this day. And before you lose your focus, the ceremonies were not enough. Just coming and walking through the motions wasn't enough. Just coming and watching Aaron kill another goat wasn't enough. Just come watching some guy load a goat onto a wagon and drag it out of town and then run it off into the woods, that wasn't enough. Just coming and watching all of the ceremonies, that was not enough. Notice what happens. You had to participate in every element of the Day of Atonement. It wasn't about what you were doing, it was why you were doing it. You had to be a willing, active participant. Or what did God say? There's no atonement. There's no relationship. You had to choose what God was offering it, the way God offered it. You couldn't say, you know what, we're all out of goats, so I tell you what, we're just going to use a camel. No. Find another goat. Find a couple of them. You get it. You're going to do it exactly as God said, do it. Or there is no atonement. How does this tie to Jesus? Because it's the story of one Lamb of God. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? By the way, Paul has exclamation point there. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's the picture Rich painted with the candle. It needed Jesus. It needed its oxygen. It's what we celebrate when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But a lot of times we miss it. How many goats were there? Two goats. How many lambs of God were there? One lamb. But it was a very special lamb. You see, Jesus' death provided our sacrifice for sin. Jesus came and he gave his life on the cross. He bled, he died, and he was buried. He gave his life, and it was all over. He said, it is complete. Remember what I told you there? One dead goat wasn't enough. Let me tell you something, folks. We celebrated Easter last week. And if it all ended on the Friday night, after they crucified Jesus, if that was the end of the story, then Jesus accomplished absolutely, positively nothing. It would have all been for naught. Because how many goats were there? Two goats. The first one gave his life and his blood for the sacrifice. The second one, well, in his resurrection, that's what provided our ability to escape from our sin. As Rich read, they would take that second goat and they would talk to that second goat and they would lay their hands on the second goat and they would lay upon that goat all of the sins that the first goat gave its life for. Then they would take that goat out into the and they would chase it away, and it was called the scapegoat. That's what the resurrection did. It finished the job. Now you don't go and sacrifice goats anymore. I hope you don't. Because those goats don't do the job anymore. Because we don't need the tale of two goats anymore, because we have the story of the one Lamb of God who took the role of both goats and did it once for all. And here's the question I have to ask you. Have you had your Day of Atonement yet? Think about that. Have you acknowledged? Have you worshiped? Have you offered? Have you rested in his love and in his sacrifice? Have you denied yourself? Have you decided, I'm going to place my faith in what God said he did? I'm going to do it God's way.